Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome to Detours. This is Joy 94.9. I'm Greg Atkins, holding the host chair today. Jodie's off on assignment somewhere in St Kilda Road. We don't know where you are, Jodie, but having a great time. Lindsay's out in the burbs, and Macca is on his extended leave from the Detours team, travelling the world, globe-trotting. And you're here with us, Greg Atkins, and our guest today, Jane Munro.
Good evening. Oh, good morning, Greg. I think my clock's a little bit out of kilter, but still.
You see, Jane is the host, one of the co-hosts of one of these shows here, Transmission Time, here at Joy, and she's used to operating in the dark times,
yes.
Slower times. So thank you for joining us here on Detours.
Fine.
It's fabulous. Now, we're going to have an awesome show today, exploring some of your travels and journeys. But before we do, just a note, if you're in Melbourne and you're travelling or heading to the eastern suburbs, there's been a large crash on the eastern outbound on the Chandler Freeway, just past Chandler Highway exit. So perhaps that's a place to avoid if you're heading out. If you're going to Kew, if you're going to Alphington or Northcote through that route, take a different route. Perhaps proceed a different way because it's not safe for you to travel that way. If you're coming inbound and you're racing in to hear Detours live in the Joy Studio, you're most welcome to. We're at City Village, 225 Bourke Street, Melbourne, which is the home of many community groups here in City Village. And it's a great kickoff place if you're exploring Melbourne and the suburbs of Melbourne, the inner urban areas of Melbourne, if you're travelling and visiting this great city. And tomorrow, the best thing to do tomorrow, Jane, if people are in Melbourne, is perhaps to duck down to the Midsummer Carnival, which is taking place at Birrawung Ma, not far away, short walk from City Village.
I always find that sort of a name that's hard to get my tongue around, and I don't know if many people actually know exactly where it is.
Well, if you're, let's describe. If you're at 225 Bourke Street, City Village, Joy 94.9, you just proceed slightly east up Bourke Street, do a southbound turn on Russell Street, and just keep walking. When you travel down Russell Street, you'll end up virtually not far away from Birrawung Ma. You'll see Federation Square, do a slight left, slight right, cross the railway yards, and you'll see the carnival atmosphere taking shape.
It's really sandwiched between the rail lines and the river.
A very good description. Yeah. It's where the... there used to be a tram line. If you're an old traveller to Melbourne, you would have known a tram line travelling up from Swan Street all the way around the river.
Down Batman Avenue, that used to be, which doesn't exist anymore.
And
yes.
Now it's a walk place.
Yes.
Yeah, so tomorrow, come along and say hello. I know a lot of Joy personalities will be happening and broadcasting from Birrawung Ma, from Carnival, at Midsummer Carnival. But today, Jane, we're going to explore some travels you had with fresh eyes, a whole different range of ways of travelling to
Thailand.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It was a very interesting trip. It was the first time that I'd been overseas in since about 18 months after I was born, because I was born in the UK and I came out when I was about 18 months old, and I spent all my life in Australia, and this was our first trip overseas. Very interesting.
Now, your co-host, Lauren Christopher, is channeling through me. And when you say you were born, was that about 1830?
I'm not quite that old, but I'm not going to tell you the exact date.
Oh, get out of my head, Lauren. Go.
A lady never tells her age. If you want to know, I'm 21, okay?
Now, let's start. Let's unpack right from the start the planning that goes into, this is before. You've decided you're going, it's on the calendar. We're about to lock in the travel. What's the first steps you do?
The first thing that I did was actually to pick a date with a surgeon. I basically went overseas to have a little bit of facial surgery and a little bit of a break, I suppose, from Australia. First thing was basically locking in a date, and then that tends to tie in everything else. I had to make arrangements to fly out, of course, via travel agent. And we got reasonably good prices on that. But what I surprised at was the price of the travel insurance. The travel insurance was about a third of the cost of the flights to Thailand. I think Thailand was, there was a special, I think it was about $2,000 for two of us. I think the travel insurance was somewhere about $500 or $600. I know it was fairly expensive.
Now, focus just on travel insurance for a moment. Right? You've got to have it. We all have to have it.
I mean, I think it's advisable.
We've had horror tales, and share your horror tales if you want. 0427-JOY949, 0427-569-949. We've had some horror tales of people that have... You know, one I know is stepped off the path at Gallipoli the day before the Gallipoli ceremony, onto the sands at Gallipoli, and rolled and fractured the ankle so badly it required a surgeon to be flown from Germany into the Turkish hospital to set the ankle, and then stabilisation post surgery, and then a flight back to Australia and more surgery, all up $65,000.
It makes sort of paying sort of $500 or $600 a very cheap exercise, wouldn't it?
Share your tales with us if you have any reason why, you know, Jane says, well, maybe you might want to have travel insurance. Why it's more, we're definitely going to have travel insurance.
Well, on the Australian Government travel site, it says, if you can't afford travel insurance, you can't afford to go.
Oh, I think that's pretty reasonable. I think that's actually okay. It's something that, you know, put it this way, if you're going to drive a car, it's compulsory to have car insurance, but if you're going to drive a car, you wouldn't want to be up for the cost of hospitalisation of a third party.
No.
Exactly the same reason. So, look, you've decided you've got your travel insurance. You've found your surgeon. How do you find a surgeon? I mean, how do you organise a time with a surgeon? In Australia, if you organise an appointment time, you're likely to be sitting there while he's trying to sneak out the back door going to play golf. So how do you organise it that far away?
The surgery was organised about 8 months in advance. There are a lot of very good surgeons in Thailand. There's a very big trade in, you know, what they call medical tourism, and I suppose I'm one of those clients. But the research on the internet, getting involved with some of the email groups that talk about specific types of surgery. And when you get onto those, there are some very, very good ones with plenty of feedback from people that have had surgery all over the world. And you sort of you read between the lines of what they say. Sometimes you get a bad report about a surgeon. Some you don't tend to get bad reports, or very few. And you basically look at all the information that's coming in, and you make a value judgment of a couple of them, and say, well, some of these look as though they're good possible candidates. Then you try and find people locally who have used those surgeons. You go and talk to them face-to-face, if possible, because you'll get a much more honest answer than what you will over the internet. Then it's a matter of contacting the surgeon or their representative, which is usually in their country of origin, but not always. And you basically send them photos of how you look, and they'll send you back an evaluation, and you say, yes, I'll have this, this, and this. And they say, well, that's going to cost you X amount of dollars.
My God, it's like shopping on eBay.
It is. but at least you get, a bit of a personalised evaluation. And you have to look at the evaluation to say, well, yes, I agree with that. I'm happy to go with that. No, I don't think I need that bit, so I won't have that, etc. So, yes, it is a little bit of a process. Then you basically pay your money and you wait for your date to come round.
Your date to come round?
Yes.
Now, we all recognise that, don't we? Oh, not that sort of date.
Okay. No, not that sort of date.
Now, we've had two messages. One, firstly, from Harriet, saying it's good to hear the voices of Jane and Greg. Thank you very much, Harriet, for your well wishes for 2012, as you, I'm sure, would like us to pass on to all the listeners here at Detours. Mm. But we've also had a message from friends of Jimmy and Chris in Sydney, who are both surgeons, and they say that there's no way known Jimmy and Chris would be, who also listen to Detours, would be ducking off to play golf while they're waiting for either one of us to be in surgery, you know, in their surgery, waiting to see us.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah. Look, if you're a surgeon, you want to talk to us about perhaps how it differs in training. training overseas? Because I'm about to say to Jane, you know, something about that, you might want to contribute. 1-300-569-949. We'd be happy to have a chat with you if you're a surgeon and want to talk about the benefits or otherwise of surgery overseas. But Jane, I've heard that some of the surgeons in far-flung places are trained exactly the same as they would be trained here.
Well, I was actually looking at a website last night, and one of the surgeons was quoted as being trained in North America and Australia, which I sort of found interesting that Australia sort of got included. Most of the good surgeons, well, the ones with the reputation in Thailand tend to have good overseas training. They seem to have good credentials. They are registered with the Thai Medical Board. It's a very big business in Thailand, and they strive very hard to maintain, I suppose, their credibility and their reputation. I know that some of the surgeons will offer basically free revisions if things don't go quite right. And I know one person who had SRS while she was over there, ended up having a few problems when she went back home, and she contacted the surgery, and they said, get here as quick as you can, we'll pay your airfares, everything. They are the sort of people that you sort of, with very high reputations, and they want to look after their reputations, that you basically seek out and go to.
Fantastic. Now, this is Jane Munro joining Greg Aikens here in the Detour Studio. We're listening to fabulous stories of arranging a holiday in Thailand, Jane's first impression. And we've covered part of it, which is around connecting for some facial surgery while she's there. And she's travelled right across the universe to do this. Well, that's the theme of our song. We've got Across the Universe for you on Joy 94.9. Stay with us.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Dai Guru Deva, Dai Guru Deva.
SMS 0427 JOY 949. Our line is open for your feedback.
You can SMS Detours here at JOY 94.9. I'm Greg Aikens, your host, with Jane Munro, our guest today, talking about her travels to Thailand. Now, Jane, you've hopped off the plane. You've done your, I think it's a 9-hour flight going there.
Yes, I think it is 9. By the clock, anyway, it's 9.
By the clock. And you've arrived. You exit, you land in the airport. What's your experiences from that point?
Huge airport. Absolutely huge. We arrived at the, now it starts with an S, and I can't pronounce the name, but it's about the main international airport's about 35K out of Bangkok, southeast, I think it is. And the first thing I thought, hang on, I'm landing in a company and a country where they don't even take the airplane up to the terminal. We had to walk down the stairs, which they brought out and put by the side of the plane, then walk 100 yards or so to a bus.
Oh my God, in open air.
In open air. This was about 6 o'clock in the morning, because we basically had an overnight flight. And then they bus you off to the terminal, where you then seem to walk for miles into the main sort of reception area, and you have to go through immigration, of course, which was easy. A lot of people don't get their, their visa until they get there. But since we thought we weren't quite sure how long we were actually going to stay there, if there's any complications, so we actually got a 60-day visa, and we got that in Melbourne at the Thai embassy. And we just went up to the guy on the desk, took our turn, and there's a camera there sort of looking at you, and I suppose comparing with what's on your passport. And I said hello to him in Thai, and he gave me a big smile, actually, which I thought was quite nice.
How do you say hello in Thai?
Sudika.
Sudika. Mm. Oh, very good.
Well, that's the pronunciation I use. Whether that's technically correct, I don't know. but it seemed to work everywhere I went anyway.
Got the door open.
Yes, I did. One thing that surprised me, there was no customs. You basically went through the immigration. There was a fairly sort of a long walk, and there was somebody looking at you. There was basically two or three customs desks, and there's a guy I think he had a gun too, sort of just sort of standing there looking, but nobody went over to the desk that said you had to declare something. Everybody would just walk straight through the area where nothing to declare, no checks. And you walk down sort of the, I suppose, the reception hall that they have where the general public sort of waiting for it.
I suppose the incentive to not rubbish your way through and steal something into customs is that there's death at the end of it if you bring something you're not supposed to.
Well, you know, when you look at the news reports, people try, but yeah, it's not worth it. And yeah, if you're going there to have a holiday and a good time, or you have a specific reason, you know, why would you?
Fair enough. Mm. Now you go through. Is there someone carrying a sign saying Miss Munro?
Yes. There was. Well, put this way, there was supposed to be. Our flight was about 20 minutes early. We were being picked up by the clinic or by arrangement. It's part of the service they offer, and I suppose this is, you know, one of the things that you pay for in their slightly higher fees. But they were supposed to be at the airport, and they have this little sign, you know, Jane, we're here. But they weren't. And so I actually walked up and down the reception area looking for this person with a sign, and my partner and I, we both sort of walked out into the general public area, and then this young Thai girl comes basically racing up with this sign. Oh, that's me. So I was getting a little bit concerned when they weren't there, because not having any basically Thai money, it made it sort of very difficult. Like, I had no money to pay for a taxi if I had to get a taxi.
So you arrived with no Thai baht at all?
That's correct, yes.
And tell me the reason behind that.
I'm not exactly sure. Because we're supposed to be sort of picked up, we actually paid a lot more money than what was actually needed, and they give you a refund at the clinic, which they ended up doing. Well, I think we got about 50 or 60,000 baht, which was ample for our sort of general day-to-day work. So, and we didn't have to pay exchange rates. It was basically a straight conversion. There was no commission, no nothing. Yes, there was a commission of about $30 on the money which we had sent over, which was very cheap to what you'd pay if you went through the exchange rates. So that was one of the reasons for not sort of ending up with Thai money. Where we had phones, of course, but they had Australian SIM cards, so it's very hard to phone the clinic and say, hey, where are you? But that they turned up, and it was about a three-quarters of an hour ride in their little minibus to take us down to a little place called Chonburi.
So Chonburi's about 35 k's from the airport then.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not a bad little journey to arrive. You get to see that. What time of day did you arrive?
Around about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, so you got the chance to see the whole city starting to come alive.
Yes.
People pouring onto the streets.
Yeah, it was a very interesting little trip. Most of the trip is actually on a raised motorway, which I found a very quick way to get round, because you didn't have to worry about all the little cross streets. And I suppose the first thing that struck me was how green the place was. Everything was green. There was lots of vegetation around the place. The other thing probably was signs in English and Thai. A lot were totally in Thai, even advertisements, and a lot of signs were bilingual. There were no Thai numbers. Everything was the numbers system that we're used to. The Thai number system is actually quite complex, from what I've read, and so they don't use it.
Now, you've arrived, mm-hmm. you're at Chonburi, you've mm-hmm. travelled that 35 k's. Mm-hmm. Your first sign of the hospital, are we talking about 1960s brick vanilla building? What are we talking about?
They take you straight to a hotel, because we arrived on a Friday morning, I think it was, and everything was planned to happen on the following Tuesday, so we had a few days leeway. Straight to the hotel, which was the Chon Inter. It used to be part of the Mercure chain, I believe, but I think they had basically sort of sold it off. So my first impression of the hotel was a bit run down on the outside. It's there's a lot of mold around the place is a bit damp, high temperatures, and mold seems to be everywhere. And you think, oh, this place is sort of probably out of its use by date by about 30 years or something. But inside, beautiful. Everything was tip top inside. You couldn't fold it.
Oh, awesome! That sounds
really nice.
So obviously at that point you're relaxed. Now, when we all travel to to have a bit of a medical procedure done here, we're a bit tense, a bit nervous. But I think just the thought of being in that warm environment, friendly people, I think that's relaxing and calming.
Yes, it was. I suppose it's something that I'd been looking forward to for a long time. And while there's a lot of excitement about, first trip overseas, it was actually quite relaxing sort of being there. You very soon made contact with other people that are over there for various types of surgery. And everybody sort of met sort of like at breakfast time and evening meal. The lunchtime, some people would turn up, but not very many. It's mainly the meal at the beginning and the end of the day.
Now, we're going to play a little bit of music for you. It's some fantastic glee music, just for you, Jane, and your partner, Kath, because it was her birthday yesterday. I do know
no,
this.
No, it was...
Or the day before.
It was the 11th.
And when we come back, I want to explore some of the food they have in Thailand, some of the experiences you had, some of the other things you explored and saw while you were there on this beautiful trip to Thailand. You're on Detours with Greg Atkins and my guest today, Jane Munro.
Joy 94.9.
Detours with Greg and Jane. That's a song for Margaret Court. What if God was one of us at the tennis? That's the other thing you can come and see in Melbourne with the tennis. Stay with us. You're on Detours with Jane and Greg on Joy 94.9. Jane Munro, our fabulous guest.
Hey, I like that.
We're in Thailand. We've travelled to Chonburi. We're now exploring the sights and sounds and smells. What comes to your mind when I say sight, sounds and smells?
The first thing when you mentioned smells, which took a little while to get used to, was sewage. Yeah. The area that we were in was relatively low-lying, and there's a bay that's sort of fairly close. I think we're only about a couple of K from the seaside or bayside or whatever. And the smell that came across was basically probably rotting seaweed. It was wasn't sort of very nice. I found it sort of seemed to be in some of the drains as well. As the drains were sort of near the hotel were sort of covered, but there was this sort of odour sort of coming out. I thought, now I only noticed it for about 2 days. Now whether I became accustomed to it or whether it went away, I don't know. But that's one of the things that struck me as far as the smells of the place go. There were some lovely smells going past some of the street side cafes. They were lovely. And the food was beautiful and cheap.
Awesome. And when you say cheap, how do you mean cheap?
There's this little, street side cafe that's basically half inside and half outside, and they basically cook more or less on the street. And I think four or five of us had dinner there one night, including watermelon drinks, which were actually quite nice. I think it cost us about 700 baht for there might have been five of us there. Now, 700 baht, the exchange rate was about about 100 baht to about $3.50, so relatively cheap.
And fantastic.
And the food was lovely. You didn't get very big portions, which is probably why I lost about 6.5 kilo while I was over there. But it was beautiful food, very nice.
Now, we've had a caller message saying that they went to Thailand a few years ago and managed to score a game of backgammon late at night on the street. Did you have this luxury?
No, I didn't. And I also missed the elephant walking down the street. Evidently, on a lot of nights in this area, there's a guy comes along with this elephant and he sells you bunches of bananas to feed to the elephant. I think it's about 100 baht or something to buy the bananas. But you had a chance to take your photo with the elephant and all those sort of things. But unfortunately, on the nights we were out, the elephant didn't turn up.
Now, did you get a chance to just sit back, you know, you're there relaxing, and just watch some of the people that lived and worked, that's their whole life, their environment, get a chance to watch them interact with each other and go about their day-to-day stuff?
A little bit, not very much. I suppose we did tend to, there was a Swedish couple that we met over there, and we became sort of actually quite close to those to them, I think basically because we were sort of like the same age group. A lot of the people going over there were quite young, in their sort of 20s, 30s, whereas the Swedish people were sort of more of my generation, and we sort of clicked somehow, sort of very close together. So we went a lot of places with them. One of the things that I did notice, that very close to this restaurant, there was a glass shop, a guy who basically cut glass to size and all that. And one of the things I was a bit surprised, he had this sheet of glass out and he had an angle grinder and he's going along grinding the edge of the glass to get, you know, the round edge. No safety protection, no goggles, no mask, just him standing there with his angle grinder. Not a very safety conscious country is the impression I get. And when you look at some, because of the engineering background that I have, I was very interested in their overhead power wiring, their telephone systems, and the cables were just draping down all over the place. I think I ended up with a picture taken near one of the shopping centres where I just basically reached up to about just overhead height and could touch their telephone cables. They were just looping around all over the place, but it was commonplace over there. It was just... it's such a culture shock when you come from a country like Australia that's very OH&S sensitive, and that everything's got to be done right. And you go to one of these countries and you think, "Oh, what have I let myself in for coming over here?"
Did you ever worry about your safety in those areas?
No. The people all seemed to be lovely. We weren't out sort of late at night. Probably as late as about 9 or 10 o'clock, and then it was only a short walk from the restaurant, from the street restaurant, back to the hotel. Anyway, so the safety didn't appear to be an issue. We did have. When we're having breakfast one morning in the hotel, there was a couple of armed soldiers sort of came in with their rifles and whatever, and just looking around. And, don't forget, this was the time when of the Red Shirts uprising in that sort of area. So yeah, that was a little bit worrying because that's the first time I'd ever seen something like that. But it was interesting.
Interesting. Did you go to bed late and get up early?
No. Probably about the sort of the same time we normally did, probably up about 7 or something like that, and dressed down for breakfast, which was included in the hotel, and they basically had a smorgasbord. They would cook scrambled eggs for you there on the spot. There's quite a range of food there, but after sort of being there, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, did start to get a little bit monotonous. But that was fine.
Now, Jane Munro is our guest here on Detours today. She's in Thailand, exploring all the way through Thailand. She's had a lovely message from Will in North Caulfield. Jane, do you want to read that out?
Jane, just love you. Fabulous interview. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will. Now, people will remember Will. He's not anonymous. He had that long-running Broadway Bedtime Show. Yes. What a fabulous show. That was something we both used to listen to each week.
Yes. Yeah. And we ended up doing some outside broadcasts for him too.
That's
right. Yeah, they were interesting.
Did you get a sense, just as Will had that extraordinary talent and that love for Broadway, did you get an idea about the shows and the nightlife of Thailand? As well.
Didn't go to any nightlife. We weren't that sort of people, and I don't think there's much nightlife in the place. Chonburi is more an industrial city rather than one that caters for tourists. If you want to go down to Pattaya, yes, that's a more tourist area, and one of the people there actually spent about 3 days down in Pattaya. I think paid a lot more money for their accommodation than what they were in Chonburi, but they're catering for a different market.
So you found a way to escape the tourists.
We did.
How
yes.
How fabulous is that?
Well, yeah. You still had the shopping centres to go to. There was one of the shopping centres we went to was about. We had to get a taxi sort of down there. It was about 8K away, and it was as modern as any shopping centre you'd see in Australia. It was spotless. It was one of these multi-level ones, well lit, plenty of open space. You know, it was really nice. Then there was one in Chonburi that we went to. You think, Well, think of Victoria Market in sort of seven levels and all squashed together. That's probably the best that I can explain to it. Very much a fire trap is what I'd call it, because they're like on the ground floor, the aisles were probably about 5 feet wide, if that. And basically each of the stalls had goods floor to ceiling. And very small stalls, and you'd think, oh, if there was a fire in here, not many people would get out. Whereas the other one, the more modern one, it looked to be much better equipped safety wise and all those sort of things.
Now, you don't strike me being the ugly tourist that disrespects people, but did you see any of those? And they're typically Australian or American or German.
No, because it's not a tourist type area. All of the foreigners that I saw there were basically there for surgery of one description or another.
Oh, fantastic.
So you didn't get those sort of touristy yobbos, I suppose, if you want to put them that way. There was a great variety of Thai people there. Most of them were sort of very very friendly. I even had some schoolgirls come to me and basically say hello when I was in a very lovely ice cream shop over there. You could get some lovely ice cream.
Have you bumped into any of your people you met overseas back here in Melbourne?
No. I keep in touch a few of them by email. But I did have a English-born friend who used to live in Melbourne, who actually works in Laos. And he actually came and visited me while I was over there, which is very nice to see. So I did have a friendly face, yes.
Now, one. Stay with us. Jane Munro's that voice. She's our fabulous guest here on Detours today, unpacking her journeys to Thailand. And Jane, just as I said, sometimes people do come and gather and visit us here in Melbourne. Tomorrow, actually, with Midsummer Carnival, is a day when I know I see a lot of people that have travelled the world and come through the Detours studio and been part of our show. So maybe tomorrow, when the Summer of Joy starts from 11 a.m. with Joy's outdoor broadcast from Midsummer Carnival, is a day when we'll start to connect with old friends. What do you reckon?
I know that will happen for me, because there's usually something on one of the stalls and I will always go and pay them a visit.
So come along and see Joy in all its glory as we cover the big first queer event of 2012. And plus, this year the Joy stall is in amongst all the other community groups. So come and say hi, join up as a member, or renew your membership and help keep us on air. Also, find out about the other great ways you can get involved and support Joy 94.9 too. Now, Joy 94.9 will also be back at Forest Glade in Mount Macedon for the annual Joy 94.9 Australia Day picnic in the park on Thursday, January 26, which is the real Australia Day. We actually do it on the day. Now, everyone's welcome to this beautiful day out. Plus, it's also a great Joy fundraiser too. So check out the banner at joy.org.au for more information. You can always email the Detours team during the week at detours@joy.org.au. That's detours@joy.org.au, and we'll guide you. We might even have a bit of a blanket out there for the Detours guests. You're on Joy 94.9. I'm Greg with Jane. We're with the show.
Joy 94.9.
You're here on Detours on Joy 94.9. And another person that's been on my mind, he's been on my mind a lot lately, is Pete Dillon.
Hello, Pete. Oh, look at you go. What a segue. You are the queen of the segues, aren't you? Hey, what was that song called? Because I really like it.
It was You've Been On My Mind, Pete.
By whom?
It's got Dave Days in it. So okay. I'm not sure who it actually does it, but that's...
I quite like it.
Yeah.
Well, on my mind today, look at you go, is summer still, because it's, you know, we're going to head into some very hot weather over the next few weeks. And I thought... We're going to try and have Adrian Richardson on last week. He's with us. He's got a new book that was out late last year and is selling like hotcakes.
And what Pete forgot to tell you is it's for Cravings.
Oh, yeah, Cravings. Sorry, at 1 o'clock. So Adrian's in to talk what we can whack on the barbecue, including vegetarian opportunities.
Oh, great.
And Chris Minichelli is here. He's an importer of boutique and unusual beer from all over the place. So he's going to talk about beer. And we're talking to Jason Hoy, who's behind the Summer of Riesling. So we've basically got barbecues, beer and wine covered.
Sounds good. So, now, yes. if you want to pack on the pounds, tune in at 1 o'clock to Pete Dillon and Cravings.
Pack on the pounds like me.
And then you can always come down and see Pete tomorrow at Midsummer Carnival.
Yes, I'm on with the gorgeous Shannon Power from the Power Show. She's on at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're on at 11:40 tomorrow, and then we'll be at the Midsummer Stall for a little while at the lovely big carnival day.
Also joining us down there, you'll see Peter from Cabaret Room. And thank you, Pete, for messaging in here at Dieter's.
I'll be back at 1 o'clock.
Pete Dillon Cravings, 1 o'clock.
Beautiful.
Now, Jane Munro, our guest today. Fabulous, Jane. It's so good to have you back in the studio.
I like that fabulous bit.
It's really good. We've got another listener who SMS'd 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949. Or you can use your little smartphone app, said that they were pushed into a nightclub by the people that lived there in the main street.
Oh, well, there weren't any nightclubs around where I was. I think the first we went out from the hotel was, about 400 or 500 yards to the little restaurant down the road, which had the menu in Thai and English. The place was a bit rough, but it was fabulous food. It was really nice.
Very good. Sounds fantastic. Now, reflections. What would you do differently if you were to travel back again to Thailand?
Oh, I don't actually know. And this is going to be important because we are actually going back hopefully later this year for a bit of a holiday and probably see a few of the places that we didn't see on the way or when we were there last time. I think I'd probably try and go to some of the tourist places for a bit of contrast from where we were, because it was a pretty much an industrial area. I suppose we saw a couple of the tourist areas. We went to a very upmarket jewellery store we were taken to, very high pressure. For every sort of basically couple that walked in or sort of a little group, there was a salesperson basically allocated to you to follow you around. And they tried to make themselves not conspicuous, but they sort of followed you around very closely. And if you showed any interest, they pounced on you. We didn't buy anything.
Did you haggle? Did you barter?
There was a piece of jewelry there that I liked, and it went from 55,000 baht down to I think it was about 18,000.
That's a pretty good haggle, and you still strung him out and walked out the door.
Yeah. it was a place that's supposedly specialised in diamonds, and a lot of the diamonds were cut on site. The other thing I probably mentioned is the zoo that we went to.
Oh, tell us about the zoo.
We went to...
I ask you that because I'm a bit of a fan. Every country I go to, I visit their zoo. And in some places, it can be quite horrendous because not all people treat their animals in captivity in zoos as we do here. What was your experience in Thailand?
The place we went to was the Nuuk Topotypical Gardens. That's about the closest pronunciation I'm going to get. And it was a combination of theme park and zoo. Some of the animals, some of the birds were in very small cages, which I thought was not very nice. But there was basically a very big building which they basically put on, basically a Thai exhibition of dancing, some of their rituals and bits and pieces, and that was very interesting. But then they took you to the elephant show. Now, the elephant show, the animals were superbly trained. They rode tricycles. They did all sorts of things. They stepped over people without touching them. But the thing that I had to think about, was how much pain went into the training of these animals and how much was sort of kindness and getting to do things. It was. It just seemed to be... some of the things that they were doing were things that the elephants would never do, like ride tricycles. And they had these special tricycles that they had built. One other thing I found interesting, there's some little kids going around selling bunches of bananas, again for about 100 baht. And at the end of each little segment, the elephants would go racing over to the around the fence of this sort of enclosed area, waiting to get the bananas from the people there. There's a lot of conditioning went into these animals, and I thought, oh, yeah, but I don't necessarily think they were trained in a very nice way.
So that rang your bell?
Yes.
Yeah. A few concerns. Yeah. Well, it's good that you went and saw. I mean, it's important to check out some of those things. We've had a message. Now, this is a slight segue from elephants, but we've had someone ask, one of our listeners, thank you very much, wants to know where they can get their private bits waxed. Too embarrassed to do it, and can you recommend somewhere for males? Now, I'm assuming you're wanting that done in Thailand.
I've got no idea in Thailand.
If you want it done in Melbourne, I think you should perhaps listen to Joy on other shows. Maybe Pete Dillon has that in between food tips. But also, we've had Mick from Melbourne. Thank you, Mick, for listening to the show as well. We've had a lot of listeners to Detours share the stories. Yes. I suppose there are places you can get waxed in Thailand too.
There probably are. I went to a a massage place that was sort of just around the corner from the hotel, and had a very nice sort of leg massage. And I had a full body massage on one of the days that we had away from the clinic. The clinic used to organise basically a couple of day trips. One was to the zoo, and one was to actually the surgeon's beach house, and they provided food and soft drink, etc. And it was a lovely day out, nice and relaxing, nothing to do.
Oh, fantastic. Sounds like a great trip. Jane, I really want to thank you for coming and sharing your experiences here on Detours. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And I'm sure there's a lot more I could talk about.
If you have any questions, email detours@joy.org.au and we'd be delighted to pass them on to Jane, get answers and share them with you on our blog or on our Facebook or here on Joy 94.9 next week when we have Detours return. It's been a pleasure, Jane. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Goodbye, everyone. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.